This is Glow in the Dark Radio. The science fiction podcast with original independent science fiction written and performed by Mike Luoma, with music by Kevin MacLeod. The Vatican Assassin Trilogy and The Adventures of Alibi Jones by Mike Luoma are available in ebook, trade paperback, and audiobook wherever you find your books online. Get links and details at glowinthedarkradio.com. This is the science fiction podcast, Glow in the Dark Radio. I'm your host, your writer and performer, Mike Luoma, and I've got the Archmage's History of the Future Part 2 on this episode. We'll be covering the 2040s and the 2050s and the 2060s. So I misspoke at the end of the last episode. We ended at the beginning of the 2040s, not the end of the 2040s. So sorry for any confusion there. In this episode, we've got the colonization of Mars, the nuking of three major Middle Eastern cities, a new jihad, the revolt of the Japanese, Mars colony, Reagan Station on the moon, under attack, and the gradual intensification of the hot and cold war between the new powers, the Universal Trade Zone, UTZ, and the Universal Islamic Nation, UIN. 3 decades of future history await. In book news, actually, most of the sales I had going on are over, and I'm working from notes I wrote last week where I still had these sales going on, so I was like, I can't really talk about those things, can I? I apologize for missing last week. I had planned on doing an episode, but my laptop died. After so many years of faithful service, it just started to go. So I had to get a new laptop, recording on that now, making the podcast on it. But yeah, understandably, I had to forego last week. So back with you this week. And I do hope you had the chance to take advantage of the Smashwords sale and the Comixology sales that were going on. I still mentioned them on social media, even though I couldn't tell you about them on Facebook. But having just picked up a new laptop and having to buy some new software, I'd like to mention that if you can support the podcast through Patreon, that would be awesome. And thank you to those of you who do, because you help me get through moments like this. Well, you and my mom. So, hey, you know, your folks are still your folks. They help you out, and that's awesome. So thanks, Mom. And thanks to my patrons. So if you want to be a patron and help support the efforts here, go to patreon.com/glowinthedarkradio, or just go to glowinthedarkradio.com and click through where it's talking about supporting the podcast via Patreon. Patreon takes your credit cards and then charges you each month $2, $5, or $10, depending on how much you pledge. They handle all the financial aspects of it, you know, the taxes and all, and then they give me a lump sum each month based on that. And they take a little cut because that's what they do, you know. But it's not a bad deal. So again, it's Patreon that does this and allows you to become a patron of Glow in the Dark Radio for $2, $5, or $10 a month. So patreon.com/glowinthedarkradio or glowinthedarkradio.com and just look for the link to Patreon. We'll get into the 2040s, the 2050s, and the 2060s in the Archmage's History of the Future next on Glow in the Dark Radio.
Hi, I'm JC. My co-host Cindy and I host the Fix It Home Improvement Podcast. We cover projects that every homeowner should know and top-rated products for home and garden. You can check it out on your favorite podcast app. It's called Fix It, F-I-X-I-T, Home Improvement.
Mm-hmm.
This is the Archmage's History of the Future on Glow in the Dark Radio. The 2040s. Sponsor countries from the UTZ had troops under UTZ control occupying Jerusalem, guarding it against the expelled, as the 2040s began. Jerusalem was a city under siege. The Arab Muslim countries united against Israel as the United Islamic Nations, the UIN. They brought increasing economic pressure and the threat of war against the State of Israel. The siege lasted a year, until 2041, when an old Russian H-bomb destroyed Jerusalem. The devastation was complete. All of it. The Dome of the Rock, the Wailing Wall, the Church of the Holy Sepulchre. They were all leveled, fused into glass. Over 500,000 people were killed. Many sons and daughters of the UTZ were killed in its destruction, guarding the city under siege. The UIN took no credit and no pride in the destruction of Jerusalem, for it was one of their holy places as well. The UTZ and Israel blame the new UIN for its implicit involvement. The UTZ airlifted Israelis out of the fallout zone to the EU and the US, and to a refurbished old orbital station. Others still were resettled on the moon. The lunar colony grew to 4 times its original size in just 2 years. The UTZ came out firmly against the UIN and threatened retribution for Jerusalem. The UIN pointed out the bomb was an old-fashioned Russian hydrogen bomb, the kind that had been disappearing from Russia since the Soviet Union dissolved. Anyone could get their hands on them on the open black market. The UIN blamed a fringe group for the destruction. But the UTZ struck back at the heart of the UIN, using nuclear weapons to destroy Damascus and Tehran. The loss of civilian life was not considered. Blood called out for blood, as the UTZ's personal losses blinded the empathy of the people, and nobody got away scot-free. The 3 major detonations released a great deal of radioactive material into the atmosphere and altered the Earth's climate. Major storms raged across the planet. Hurricanes, monsoons, and blizzards. There were several earthquakes of 7 on the Richter scale and higher. Many wealthy types made for the high frontier once again, building new orbital getaways and refurbishing older ones. 2042 began with the West, the UTZ, in control of most of the orbital areas. UIN sources controlled 3 or 4 of the old private stations, renamed the Prophet's Fortresses. In the countries of the UTZ, Christianity and Judaism flourished in opposition to the Muslim resurgence. The focus of Jewish life moved to the moon when several leading rabbis joined the lunar community and built their new temple in heaven in New Jerusalem on the moon. The Pope enjoyed an upswing in popularity, consulted by member countries' leaders. The U.S. President and British Prime Minister, the Irish PM, and Canada's top official, the PM in absentia, G.M. MacDonald. The Pope's influence was hard to measure, but certainly the fact that these leaders acknowledged him as their spiritual leader spoke to his power. With the new state of war, people turned to Catholicism and the older Christian religions for comfort and hope. The UTZ encouraged the religious fervor of the Christians to solidify support for their anti-UIN efforts. 2042 also saw the rise of a new Ayatollah in Turkey, Ayatollah Aziz called Jihad, declaring holy war on those who mocked the Prophet. He declared that Islam was the only way mankind's love affair with Allah, the Creator, could be expressed. He also called for an Arabian Renaissance of mathematics and science and the technical arts in service to Allah, with the stated goal of Islam once again becoming the instrument by which mankind's intellect was expressed, a pure expression of love for Allah. An Islamic technical revolution began. The jihad began as a terror campaign. Isolated targets within UTZ countries were hit by a number of different weapons, bombs, nerve gas, biotoxins, and water supply poisoning. The PTC attempted to remain somewhat separate from the rest of the decidedly Judeo-Christian UTZ and saw increased investment as megacorps shifted wealth out of the threatened countries into the PTC's relatively safe harbor. Australia, New Zealand, the Philippines, Indonesia, China, most of the Pacific Rim were members of the PTC. Japan grew increasingly isolationist, however, until 2045, when a militant nationalist Japanese government tried to secede from the UTZ-PTC unsuccessfully. The secession was avoided, and Japan was soothed by a couple of concessions, the biggest of which was control over a major part of UTZ's Mars operation. They got their own supply area and the surrounding terrain. One of the already profitable areas was turned over to Japan to run as the PTC representative country. Many of the most militant Japanese were then forced by the UTZ to volunteer to serve on Mars. The UTZ reasoned that away from their homeland, their power would be diminished. It did not work that way. The 2050s. In 2051, the Japanese Mars supply area was taken over by a group calling itself the Japanese Ancestral Society. The Japanese Ancestral Society became the rulers of their own separate, renegade Mars colony. The colony was an outpost for traditional Japanese nationalists who viewed the outpost as a new Japan, a new island. They adapted and cultivated traditional bonsai gardens on Mars. With a twist, they used the knowledge to grow food. They placed plants all around the colony to recycle air naturally. The Japanese Mars colony was rumored to be more advanced than its UTZ counterparts, but only rumored. Many went in, but very few returned from the Japanese area. They even had their own bullet ships on the Magloop Highway, maintaining a fragile contact with the motherland. The wars simmered on through the decade. Terrorist attacks and border disputes continued between UTZ countries and UIN countries. On Mars, the renegade Japanese continued a terror campaign of their own against neighboring supply areas. Then, their bullet ships started harassing other ships on the Magloop Highway, knocking ships out of the loop path and into deep space, where many were lost. Magloops were also targeted by the UIN for sabotage. Several loops had to be replaced after they were damaged, either by stray bullet ships or outright attack. 2060 to 2069. The UTZ's Reagan station on the moon was hit by an Earth-based missile after the entire orbital communications network was blacked out and taken over by the UIN in 2062, demonstrating the technological advancement of the UIN and the Islamic religio-technocracy's muscle. The propulsion and stealth technology required was developed in the Islamic sphere in less than 20 years. Deploying simultaneously with the lunar attack were reprogrammers, small leech-like robot rockets that attached themselves to orbital platforms and tapped into the platform's systems, taking over the systems for their own use. These reprogrammers crippled the orbital communications network, clearing the missile's path. They then held the platforms themselves hostage. It was a stunning blow. The UTZ went on the defensive. The military abandoned what was left of the lunar base. Reagan Station was in ruins, with New Jerusalem also badly damaged. The UTZ was also forced to shut down their Mars operation after their launch facilities on the moon were destroyed. The Magloop Highway became just out of reach, insecure, with several loops damaged or out of position. The reprogrammers compromised orbital facilities. They, too, were no longer secure. The megacorporations and member countries of the UTZ retrenched on Earth. The PTC, being mostly non-Christian, had been put off by the Holy Terror campaign of the UTZ. The Asian countries in the PTC of the UTZ tried to stay neutral, but were still considered mostly Western pawns by the UIN. Attempting to appear apart from the rest of the UTZ, the PTC was granted control over their own orbital facility, though it was closely watched and under UIN guard. Their non-threatening stance did help them avoid getting targeted by UIN terrorists for a time. On Mars, unknown to both the UTZ and the UIN, the renegade Japanese colony attained self-sufficiency with their bonsai gardens and reclamation systems. When the war caused Mars to be abandoned, the hardcore militants in the Japanese section softened a bit and took in some of the survivors left for dead by the UTZ. Many of these did not survive once in the harsh, warrior-based society of the colony, however. And so 2062 was a pivotal year. The United Islamic Nations were able to exercise their might and their identity, their supreme love and faith in Allah, who obviously supported their jihad. Weren't they victorious? The UIN controlled the orbital platforms, penning in the UTZ on Earth. They began to take over the old UTZ lunar base, rebuilding and refurbishing the Mars launcher. By 2063, the UIN were able to use the rebuilt facilities on the moon to restore the Magloop Highway and the link to Mars. July of 2063 saw the UIN's first arrival on Mars. The renegade Japanese colonists destroyed the first landing station shortly after its deployment. The UIN believed Mars dead and abandoned, but the Japanese colonists were very much alive. They observed the UIN landing and decided that the station had to be eliminated. War broke out on Mars, the UIN versus the Japanese colonists, as UIN reinforcements began arriving by the bullet ship full. It took a full year, but they conquered the Japanese colonists and took over their facilities. The UIN, ever progressing technologically, took advantage of the new technology of the Japanese, adapting their reclamation systems with UIN technology. The merging of divergent technologies created new, more advanced, hybrid systems. Through 2064 and 65, the UIN took over all of the old UTZ holdings on Mars, left mostly intact, just abandoned, and adapted them to their use. The UIN gained a true advantage, combining its own tech advances with those of the Japanese colonists and the UTZ. By the end of 65, although the UIN held a few of the Japanese colonies' scientists hostage on Mars, they'd exiled most of the few surviving Japanese back to Earth. Mars fully belonged to the UIN. The PTC, outraged by the UIN treatment of its citizens, even though they themselves had abandoned them for dead a year earlier on Mars, turned to the UTZ for backing, sharing the tech brought back by former Mars colonists fleeing the UIN to scare the UTZ into action. In early 2066, UTZ agents snuck on board the PTC orbital platform and reprogrammed a reprogrammer, and then launched it to do likewise to the other reprogrammers on the other orbital stations. UTZ-PTC scientists working together had cracked United Islamic Nations security codes. After 3 years, the UTZ had a chance to regain control of its orbital holdings. UTZ ships, kept idle on the ground but never out of readiness, headed for Earth orbit in an attempt to take back the sky. The UIN, concentrating on Mars and caught with its guard relaxed, responded as quickly as it could. But the UIN had too many of its forces both on and en route to and from Mars. The UTZ was able to take advantage and regain control of three strategic orbital platforms. The UTZ began to shut out the UIN from Earth. Mecca became impossible to get to, blockaded by UTZ forces. The solid alliance of the UTZ and PTC squeezed UIN countries on Earth. UIN terrorism ceased on Earth, as UIN forces dug in for self-defense. None of the UIN forces in orbit, on Mars, or the Moon could assist, as the UTZ orbital blockade effectively held them at bay. Over the next 4 years, the UTZ became very good at stopping UIN ships from landing safely on Earth. That was the Archmage's History of the Future on Glow in the Dark Radio. The 2040s, 2050s, and 2060s covered on this episode. Things are heating up between the UIN and the UTZ. After a few years with the upper hand, the UIN now find themselves losing territory and control. What happens next? Join me as we get into the 2070s on our next episode, as part three of the Archmage's History of the Future comes your way. It's going to be probably a couple weeks, though. I do want to warn you about that. I'm doing some vacation, going to be driving out to a wedding, so it's probably going to be a couple of weeks before I get you the next episode as we make our way through the summer here. But that is on the way, and it will be the Archmage's History of the Future continuing. Again, if you can support this podcast as a patron, please go to patreon.com/glowinthedarkradio or go to glowinthedarkradio.com and click through to Patreon to become a patron for $2, $5, or $10 a month. You can pledge that and help support the podcast. That'd be great. Just had to buy a new laptop and buy the new software, and so, yeah, I'm asking for your help, if you can, to help keep things going. And to those of you who do help, as patrons, thank you. That's all for this time around. I'm your host, your writer and reader, Mike Luoma. Thank you again for listening to Glow in the Dark Radio. Glow in the Dark Radio. This podcast presentation is copyright 2021 by Michael F. Luoma and is protected under a Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, No Derivatives 4.0 International License. CC by NCND 4.0. Music by Kevin MacLeod. You can find his work at Accompetech.com and filmmusic.io. Mike's books are available in ebook, paperback, and audiobook wherever you find books online. Get links and more details at glowinthedarkradio.com. and MikeLuoma.com. This has been a presentation of Glow in the Dark Radio.